Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It seems unsolved and unexplained stories are the most common stories sent into my channel. I get sent in hundreds of stories a day, and almost probably I'd say 95% of them have something to do with the supernatural. This is the longest running series on the channel, and probably my favorite. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's something unexplainable or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you haven't, and relax to these scary stories that are downright unexplainable. We are in Maribo, Denmark. My boyfriend and I went to visit some friends there. We were all happy to see each other and are going to have a party this night. The apartment we are going to is very small, with an entry, a bathroom in the right bedroom, right ahead, and a living room and a kitchen at the right. My boyfriend and I were sitting and talking in the bedroom for a few minutes while our friends were in the living room. I can't remember what we were talking about anymore, but suddenly I could see a reflection in his eye, a perfect reflection of a person. But when I look back, there is no one. My boyfriend asked what I saw, and I just look at him. I have heard ghosts before, but I have never seen one. I'm a really open-minded person, and I believe in such things, but this was just weird. The night goes on, we start partying, drinking, and nothing creepy really happening. The second night, my boyfriend was the only person to sleep. He was in the bedroom. My friend was talking, and I was just sat facing the entry, when suddenly an almost naked person walked from the bedroom and through the entry. I blinked. The boy was about our age, 19 or 20 years old, maybe 175 centimeters tall, blonde hair, and was only wearing underwear from what I could see. I stand up, looked out the entry. There's nobody there. I look in the bedroom and my boyfriend was still fast asleep. I looked in the bathroom, there was nothing. The front door was broken, so the only way to get in or out was to lift it, and there was no way he could have done it so fast, and without him making any sort of noise. I walked back to my friends, and they all looked at me, asking for the cause of all this ruckus. I told them I think I'd seen a ghost. The girl who lived there began to cry, because she had been experiencing a lot of unnatural stuff. After this, I haven't had many ghost-related experiences, but at the time, it was at the very least a little creepy. This happened a while ago but still haunts me. I really don't know how to compartmentalize it, and if I hadn't had a friend with me who saw and experienced the exact same thing, I would chalk it up to something I imagined. I'll keep my name and my friend's name out of this story, as I don't want notoriety for it. But I would like to explain exactly where it happened, as I would love to hear if anyone else has experienced anything similar to what my friend and I experienced that night. This happened back on October 13th, 1988. It was cold, and it was a Thursday evening. My friend and I had been at the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls, Iowa, since August, and it was our freshman year. We lived in some of the oldest dorms on campus. Her in Lothar Hall, and me in Bartlett Hall. We were just out for a walk after finishing studying, and we both felt like wandering and exploring. My friend had heard that they were working on making a haunted house in Lothar, and that some of her friends were working on it, so we decided to try and find where it was happening. Neither of us were awfully familiar with the full layout of the hall, so we were just kind of bumbling around, seeing what we could see. Apparently the haunted house was being made in the attic, so we made our way up the stairs to the highest level. However, the large doors at the very top of the center stairwell were locked and had dark fabric hanging from them on the other side. We could not hear anyone talking or moving on the other side, so we figured we would check out the floor below it. Down to the next floor, we found a very quiet floor with dorm rooms, and the width of the center stairwell was where a fire door was up to the right. And to the left, there was another fire door, but the door on the left looked older and was painted wood, not steel like the other. A quick look through the door to the right showed us a continuation of the hallway and more dorm rooms. Walking over to the door on the left, we noticed that there was a bathroom door to the left of the wooden door. This will be important later. I tried the handle on the door, and it would not turn. Believing it to be locked, I figured that was the end of exploring that floor. As I was turning away, I heard a metallic sound and my friend gasped in surprise. She said she grabbed the knob and then it turned in her hand the opposite direction she was going to turn it, and then she pulled away from it. I turned around quickly to see her now looking into a dark room with a now partially open door. My friend carefully pushed the door open wider and walked in looking around for a light switch. She had walked in far enough that I could no longer see her very well, and I looked along the left-hand side of the door frame for a light switch, finding nothing at what I felt would be the normal height for a switch. I arced my arm wider and found an antiqued style switch that was about head height. Just as I was about to flip the switch, the light came on, but instinctively, I still flipped the switch, shutting them back off again. Again, my friend gasped, and I flipped the switch back, turning the lights back on. She had found another switch on a large timber pillar farther into the room. Looking around, we saw a large room, easily 100 feet long and 40 to 50 feet wide. There were two large dark wood staircases that crisscrossed each other that led up to a loft area that lined the walls. Large windows lined the room, as well as old-style hospital beds from the early 1900s. There was also an old-style wheelchair that looked like it had old ECG machines or something on it. On the other far end of the room, there was another door like the one we had entered, and there was light coming from under the door. While we were both fascinated by the room, something just felt wrong, like we were not supposed to be there. We both just left without saying much and just assumed that might be part of the setup for the Halloween house. Much later, my friend was talking to another one of her friends about the haunted house and asked how the hospital set ties into the whole thing. She was met with a blank stare. Long story short, this leads her to ask me what I remember about the room. I mentioned the large windows. We looked off on the side of Lothar Hall and could find no such windows. I suggested to my friend that we look to possibly find some sort of blueprints, or maybe we can look for the door again, but we were never able to find it. We explored everywhere, but upon us finding this set of windows that kinda looked like it, we looked into it, and we could see that there was nowhere near enough room to have a second floor loft and large windows like we saw. We tried doing research to find out if Lothar Hall ever had a room like that, and maybe tore it down, but no luck. In 1991, we got the help of a couple of resident assistants to get us a key to check out what was on the other side of that door. Entering now, the low-pitched ceilings, tiny alcoves with small windows, and lots of junk in storage. Wandering farther into the back of the attic storage space, we found several of the hospital bed frame heads and footboards in a much greater state of decay. The wheelchair and the machine thing, all covered in thick dust and cobwebs. I don't know what was happening that day. I don't know if we stumbled upon some alternate dimension, maybe some portal slip in time, I have no idea. Maybe it was another timeline, another universe, I don't know. But I just remember how things felt so wrong when we stumbled into that room. I wonder what would have happened if we stayed there too long, and where we would be now. I am a personal support worker working in a retirement home. This facility isn't very old, 7 years at most if I'm correct. But with any building where death occurs, there are some strange things that happen. The nursing station has a direct view of the dining room and the fireplace room. On night shift, you can often find the rocking chairs swinging by themselves, the lamps turning on or off, the dining room doors opening or closing, and the dining room chairs being pulled back from the tables. The second floor is where the most of the activity happens. We have multiple residents who claim that there is a little boy who will come visit them at night, sit on their beds, and ask them to play. Multiple staff members experience cold spots, hear someone crying or calling for help only to find no one in distress. Growling and strange animalistic sounds are not uncommon either. One room on the second floor has been turned to storage after there were incidents with three different residents. The first one started hearing bangs and strange noises at night. This escalated to her claiming she was pushed one night when going to the bathroom, causing her to break her collarbone. We moved her to a different room and she returned from the hospital. The second was adamant that something was staring at her all night from her bedroom doorway. Glowing eyes, guttural sounds, the whole nine yards. After a few months, she said she was pulled from her bed by her feet and dragged. No injuries this time, but she ended up moving to a different facility. The third and final resident of that room had all the same complaints as the others, but one night was pulled from his bed and the injuries sustained were significant. I happened to be working that night and it truly looked as though something clawed his legs, back, chest, and arms. There was so much blood on the carpet, it had to be pulled out and replaced. He says something grabbed his feet, pulled him out of bed, dragging him into the living room, and then clawing him. Each resident is given a pendant like a life alert to push if they need assistance. The pendant for that room still goes off to this day, even though it was deactivated years ago. When I was a kid, I do not recall what age. I think I was in like 5th grade. A buddy of mine lived up the road. Every time I would walk past his house, every hair on my body would stand up. To give you more of an idea of what was going on in that house, there were times where I would walk past and look up at the attic window. I would see the face of some little girl and a tall man standing behind her. It was always a sign of something going to happen. See, my buddy who I will call R, his parents never went in the attic. No one did, honestly. They always kept it locked. They knew something was in the house. I have a few scary memories that happened in that house, but I'm just going to share this one for the time being. This is one of the scariest things that happened to me there. I was staying the night at R's house. The room was on the second floor, immediately to the right of the top of the steps, next to his room were his parents' room. On the other side of the stairs, on the left, was his brother's room. On the far side left of the room was R's sister's room, and the bathroom next to her room. The attic door was on the opposite side of the room from the stairs. I was in R's room sleeping at the time. I woke up to use the bathroom, but it took me a minute to get up because I had a bad vibe about the hallway. My gut was telling me to go back to bed, but as a kid, I was not able to hold my bladder too long. So, I half asleep walked across the hall to the open door, into the bathroom, and then I walked back to my bed. I saw the attic door slowly opening as I was walking back though. I saw what looked like a little hand wrap its fingers around the door. Then I saw the little girl from the attic pop her head around. The attic door was about 15 feet away from the bathroom. I see her head and close the bathroom door and leaned up against it so it could not open. That is when I hear the little girl say, "Open the door," but there was something about her voice. It was off. It didn't sound human. I was scared and crying and said no. That is when the doorknob started wiggling, and it felt as if something was going to rip the door off its hinges at any moment. It went on like this for what felt like 20 minutes. I heard stomping away from the door and what sounded like someone walking up wooden stairs. The attic was the only place with wooden stairs in the house, so I knew it had to be going back to the attic. I waited for a few minutes to be safe. I peeked out the door and saw the attic door shut. I was scared, but I thought maybe it was R playing a trick on me. But he is the youngest in the house besides me. He doesn't have a little sister, so I reckon that it can't really be a joke. I went to check the attic door, but it was locked. I ran back to R's room, where he was still passed out. I tried like heck to go back to sleep, and finally did. When me and R woke up the next morning, he noticed I had a handprint on the back of my neck. It was huge. When he went to change his shirt, I saw he had fresh scratches on his back as well. We got dressed and went to my house, and he stayed the night at my house. I remember this day like it was yesterday. My hands are trembling just thinking about it. I will never forget the sound of her voice telling me to open the door.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This happened when I was in college, 4 years ago. I went to a university that was very close to an ocean on the East Coast. I made friends with some people on the weekend, and one guy in the group of people I met invited us to go out on his boat with him. He described his boat to a bunch of people, and was very proud to have it. It sounded like an expensive sailboat by the way he described it. Not really familiar with boats, and hadn't ever really been on one other than a cruise ship when I was like 11. This guy said his parents bought one for him, and that made sense because he was known to be a spoiled kid. He was nice enough, though, and the idea of cruising around some Saturday afternoon and drinking some beers sounded appealing. After that conversation, I saw him around in school, but didn't really talk to him much, until one day he approached me in the library and asked if I still wanted to go sailing. I said sure, that sounded awesome. And he told me the following day he was going out on the water, and it would be a perfect opportunity for me to join him. After a lengthy conversation about how sailing works, and him assuring me it was safe and he had all the proper training, I told him I'd meet him at the docks the next morning. That night, my roommate asked me what I was doing for the weekend, and I told him that I made plans to go out sailing. He freaked out on me and told me he really wished he could go, and that I was sure that the other guy would be cool with it. The next morning, my roommate and I grabbed some coffee and grabbed some beer to bring along with us on our voyage. We ate some breakfast, and then we headed over to the docks to meet the guy. We were pretty excited, and when we got there, we followed the direction he gave me and found his boat. It was a huge orange and white sailboat. We stood on the dock next to the boat looking at it, when the guy popped his head up from somewhere and immediately showed a look of concern on his face. He jumped off the side of the boat onto the dock next to us. He looked at my roommate and then myself and asked, "Who is this?" I told him he was my roommate, he was cool, and that he had asked if he could come along. I told him I didn't think he would mind. The guy looked very annoyed, and it was awkward as hell for a few moments. The guy kept looking back and forth at the boat and then us. He took his hat off and rubbed his head like he was really stressed out. Eventually he sighed and said it was fine. I'll fast forward now to the part of the story that was scary as hell. A few hours later, we were on the boat, drinking and having fun. The water was pretty smooth sailing, and the sun was shining bright on us. The guy acted a bit off the whole time, and I figured it was because I brought my roommate. After drinking 3 or 4 beers, I felt the courage to ask the guy what was wrong, and if he was still pissed I brought my roommate. He responded with something along the lines of, "It just kind of ruined my plans." My roommate chimed in, with a smile on his face, and asked the guy, "What plans?" I could tell my roommate thought it was funny because it sounded like the guy wanted to be alone with me. The guy looked at him and said, "Well, because you're here, I can't kill him." This took me off guard completely, and I felt fear and unbelievable relief hit me at the same time. My roommate and this guy started cracking up, and my roommate brushed it off as a joke. I honestly didn't know what to think. Was this guy serious? Did I avoid being killed by this asshole? Is his sense of humor just that weird? I believe I got my answer when I went below the deck an hour later to grab another beer from the fridge. Next to his fridge was a brown swinging door that led to a small private bedroom quarters. I was feeling the beer pretty good by this point, and without thinking, pushed the door open. Laying on the foot of the bed was a big-ass cinder block, some yellow rope, tape, and what looked like a recorder of some sort. After seeing that, I felt sick to my stomach and wanted off that boat as soon as possible. I wanted to go back up and confront the guy, but decided against it, because of what he might have been on, you know, who knows what he was capable of. Could be on some serious drugs, or even worse. What seemed like hours and hours more of being with this guy, we finally made it back to the dock. We said our goodbyes, and on the way back to my room, I told my roommate about what I had seen. He couldn't believe it. I'm pretty damn sure that my roommate saved my life that day by wanting to go with me. And I kid you not, I never saw that guy again on campus. What he had planned, I don't know. And I really don't want to think about it.
Before I tell you what happened that night, let me tell you who I am and when this happened. My name is Tyler. I'm 16, and I'm a junior at a semi-private school. This event happened 2 years ago, almost 3 now, so bear with me on the details. The memories from that night are still a little foggy. But anyway, here I go. It was 2017, late October, I think. I had just gotten home after a long day of school. I decided to hop on my PS4 and play some Call of Duty Black Ops 3 with some online friends. As the hours passed, old and new friends had come and gone, and I was home alone for the week because my mother and father went on a business trip to Georgia, as well as visiting some family. It wasn't the first time I had to be home alone for a long period of time. I usually went to bed around 9:30. But since it was a Friday and I was home alone, I decided I would stay up. 9:30 came, and then 10, and then 11, then midnight, so on and so forth, you get the point. My eyes felt heavy and were foggy because of how long I was playing the video game, but the fact that I was wearing contacts didn't help either. I decided to check the time since I knew that it was getting late. It was 1:20 a.m. I was in a match, so I didn't want to get up and turn everything off. I decided that I was going to finish up the current match, and then I was going to go to bed. As I was finishing up the match, a putridly bad and musty smell hit my nostrils. To be honest, it tensed me up for quite a bit, and I gagged at how bad it was. I knew I wasn't going to be able to sleep through it, so I played a couple more matches, hoping that the smell would eventually go away. But that wasn't the case. Over time, minute by minute, it almost seemed like the scent was getting closer and stronger. I attempted to ignore it and continue to play my game. I have a noise-canceling headset, but I could swear that I heard footsteps from behind me. But then I remembered I had the 3D sound on as well. So, being me, I ignored it. Then I heard tapping. I took off my headset to confirm that it was the game. Then I heard it again. It was coming from the window behind me. It had shades over it, but with the outside light on, I saw a silhouette of something almost human-like. I stood in my room frozen in fear, looking at the silhouette, wondering if I was just delirious on sleep, but then its head ticked to one side like a bird, and it tapped on the window once again, in the same pattern. As adrenaline shot through my body, I decided, being the curious young teen that I was, to open the shades. When I got closer, the stench got stronger, and I could tell now that it was the smell of something decaying and dying. Could it be a dying animal that just so happened to stumble upon my window, I thought? But then I remembered the tapping and how in unison it was. I finally got the courage to pull back the curtains, and I wish I hadn't. It had a human face, but where the eyes were supposed to be, there were just sockets. It had sharp teeth so jagged I could swear it could tear through steel. Its face was decomposing and rotting. It looked like it had been dead for such a long time. I stood from where I had opened the window shades in fear. I couldn't take my eyes off of this thing. I didn't know if it was looking at me or not because of its empty, soulless eye sockets. Then it tilted its head with a sharp movement that startled me, and I screamed. It got up with so much speed, and then it went back into the woods. I saw its body and how contorted it was and how awkward it moved. I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night, or weeks even. I haven't seen the thing since that day. And I'm only sharing this now because in class a couple of weeks ago, we learned about Native American cryptids, and the skinwalker fit the description well. The only thing off is that it usually takes the form of the things it has killed. My question is, who is the person it killed to take their form? I just hope that's the only time I ever see that thing, because who knows what it might do if we ever cross paths again.
This story happened to my mom back when she was just 10 years old and forced to live with her grandparents as her mother couldn't afford to raise all four siblings. She moved to a small town in Guatemala, outside of the capital city. Every night, she was sent to collect buckets of water from the sink located in the back of the house. As it was the main source of water for them, no one lived in this house, so it was always empty. The walk from the main house was about a 5-minute walk, so that should have been an easy chore turned into a nightmare. This is when her encounters with La Sinhuanaba began. The first time she saw her, it was pitch dark, and at first everything seemed normal. At the time, they had no electricity, and so she carried an oil lamp with one hand to light the way. It was about 10 p.m., and as she approached the sink, she stopped dead in her tracks. Alone in the dark appeared a white glowing figure, standing a couple of feet away from her. The figure didn't move or say a word. It just stood there. Absolutely appalled, she stood frozen as shivers ran through her body. She couldn't move or scream. She wanted to run, but was filled with fear and became inanimate. The figure was a beautiful, tall, slender woman with shiny long hair who wore a white dress and had hooves as feet. Her face was hidden, but she knew it wasn't human. It was in that moment she realized it was real. It was not a myth. The tales described to her as a child of a supernatural creature that takes the form of a gorgeous woman who would lure men or a woman away before revealing her true face, a horse or human skull. Desperately, she closed her eyes as she knew she couldn't face her. Panicking, she grabbed her cross necklace and silently prayed for 5 minutes until the coldness left her body. Slowly, she opened her eyes again and nervously inspected her surroundings. The witch had vanished. She walked rapidly but cautiously towards the sink and collected what she needed. Then she ran back to the house and didn't tell a soul. For the next 5 years, she would relive this nightmare every single night. It was dreadful for her to walk outside as she knew what was waiting for her. She would always present herself with the long, beautiful white hair in the same spot and same time. All my mother could do was close her eyes and pray repeatedly until the figure was gone. She never told her grandparents or anyone what she was witnessing, though. It wasn't until she turned 15, when she moved back with her mother to Guatemala City, that everything stopped. Thanks for listening to these creepy and unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the channel, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go and you want to bring your favorite stories with you, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. The best part about it is that it's 100% free. If you would like to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, perhaps check out the merch store. I've got t-shirts, coffee mugs, face masks, hoodies, and just about everything else you could want. I even have an exclusive Halloween design that will be going away after Halloween. Much thanks to my friend at Mailtopia who helped me read one of these stories today. I believe they read story number 6. If you enjoyed their voice, please be sure to check out their podcast. You can find a link to do so in the description down below. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's an unexplained story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.